Irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
You're listening to All About Guitar with Jeff Lolo, only on LA Talk Radio.
Amazing instrument. It has developed into an incredible voice in today's music. So many types of guitars, so many styles of playing, all sorts of gear. How does one make their voice be heard as a guitarist? My name is Jeff Floro and welcome to All About Guitar, where we talk tone, we talk technique, we talk gear. Where we discover how we can become better musicians in a world of constantly changing technologies. Where we take a good look at everything guitar. And sometimes not exactly guitar, but just as important. So we can be more successful as a musician in today's music scene. So sit back and relax, and let's explore All About Guitar. Good evening, everybody. Welcome to All About Guitar. We have a great show for you tonight. My very good friend, great guitar player, Mark Mann, is back with a new album that he's doing. He did Lefty and the Hat Man, Deja Blue. And we are very fortunate to have on the phone...
Lefty's on the phone.
Lefty.
Hatman's in the studio.
Hatman.
Lefty's on the phone, dialing in from somewhere in the middle of the country.
Yes, and since he can't be in, we have a stand-in for him.
Oh, yeah, we have Mr. Red Guitar here.
Mr. Red Guitar is standing in for Lefty.
Great to see you again. Now, I'm going to call the host, Jeff, and Lefty.
Should I just call you Lefty?
That works for me.
Okay, I'm going to call you Lefty.
That way we can distinguish.
Yes. So anyway, Lefty, it's great to have you on the show. And this is a great opportunity because we literally have the two creators of this album. It's the group, and that's always cool. So we're going to take a look at this album. It's called Deja Blue. And I was working on it over the weekend, and I recommend it highly. There's some great music on here. Great guitar work, great mixing, great string and brass arrangements, the whole shot.
Thanks, Jeff.
So, no, it's really good. And I mean that, honestly. So, anyway, let's just throw it out there real fast. Let's talk about, okay, take it from the beginning, the concept of the album.
Well, let's even go back a little further than that, because Lefty and I have known each other since we were in rock and roll bands here in LA in the 80s.
Oh.
And there's sort of a tie-in, I think, with the album that we're showing now, Deja Blue, because the name of the band back then was Blue Collar.
Oh, really?
Yeah, and we did a lot of great music back then. And so this is kind of a nice revisiting of our partnership working in music. And it's just really, really felt good, the whole experience of utilizing our musical experiences over the years and coming up with an album like this to show off, you know, where we've gotten to musically, but also as people. And so, Lefty, I'm going to toss it to you about, you know, some of the tie-in from the past.
Well, that was very well said, and I just felt excited and honored that we were able to dive in and work on this new project together. And it's funny, it's like almost no time had passed. We sort of had, you know, shorthand, the way we communicate to each other. You know, we trust each other, and it was just a really fun project.
Yeah, I mean, I agree. It really came together really easily and nicely. And so the concept, a little bit to explain, is sort of like there was a great producer who produced Pink Floyd, Alan Parsons, and he eventually did things called the Alan Parsons Project. There's also Mike and the Mechanics, the guitar player, from Genesis doing an album that was not always the same people as the lead vocalists. We have mm-hmm. Three great guest vocalists that are on the album. We have Christian Provenson and Ira Ingber and Jeff Allen Ross, who I work with here a lot in L.A. He was part of the Badfinger band, singing with them, and he works a lot with Peter Asher. And so we had these particular singers, and I tossed these to Lefty to say, you know, what do you think of these, and what'd you say?
Well, I mean, it was sort of a no-brainer. All three of them did an incredible job, and, you know, we were kind of careful as to listening to the quality of each of their voices, who would be right for what song, and, yeah, I think what we got was just excellent.
And so that was kind of the idea, was to decide who would sing which song and then produce it in a way that really fit the concept of the song. And we have a great great guest bassist, Tony Levin, plays mm-hmm. on this. And that was quite an honor. I'd worked with him on some other projects, and I just, you know, said, hey, you know, what do you think of this track? Can you put some bass on that? He says, yeah, sure. I think Lefty was a little excited and happy to
surprise.
Yeah. That we got to do that.
Well, and he did such a great job on the one that we gave him a second one.
Yeah. And we'll play it a little bit later. It's what we're kind of considering the single, which is We Call It Love. And it was so good that when we got the recording done on that, it was like listening to the instrumental version was amazing. It was a lot of great bass. So, you know, we can tell you about the guitars that we used on different songs. I don't know if you want to play a clip of something. Or...
Well, let me play. I've heard this song before. I think you gave it to me when we did one of the other shows, but maybe a different version of it, Dumbstruck.
Yeah, it might have been an early release, pre-mix, pre-mastering, just a bit of something.
Well, let me play this because there's some great guitar work in this, and there's a lot of stuff going on in this one. So this is their first track of the album. It's called Dumbstruck. Take a listen, and we'll talk about it.
Dumbstruck, out of luck, sick and tired of feeling stuck.
All right. What were you using? That's my first question.
I think it was caffeinated beverages.
There you go.
That definitely helped.
You have that kind of twangy guitar that's the rhythm guitar, and then the lead was great.
Yeah, you know, let's have Lefty talk about the core track that was laid down as his acoustic.
Okay.
And so tell him about which guitar you use.
Sure. The guitar used for most of the songs is a Martin HD28V. And I think you and I were talking a little bit earlier before the show that the way I tune the guitar down a whole step, and I also play the guitar, I guess, upside down or backwards. So I flip it over, so like a lefty, but hence the name. But I don't reverse the string. So my strumming is hitting the high string first. So that kind of gives a, you know, kind of unique sound to the rhythm guitar playing.
Yeah, when I first.
So, yeah,
go ahead.
You know, I was just going to say, I started with that, and most of them are double tracked. And I was going to say something else about some of the other players, but you know, I'll let you go ahead there.
Well, that was one of the things when I first met Lefty was it, you know, you think about left-handed guitar players. There's Jimi Hendrix, there's Paul McCartney, there's all these lefties, but Lefty doesn't change the strings.
He plays a right.
Plays a right-handed guitar upside down, and it's just so cool because you get you get a different sound, you get a different way that the rhythm happens, and it's just a really, really cool thing. And I think a lot of people who've heard the record comment on that, and you know, they talk about comparing to Dave Matthews or some other great mm-hmm. acoustic players. So that's the core of this track and a bunch of the other tracks. And then I put on a Guild 12 string that is an electric 12 to give that jangle. And I also used another 12 string sound that I have in my VG system that I've come in and talked about. And then I use my Strat for the solo.
And that's through the VG?
Mm-hmm.
On this album, did you keep it in the box or did you use
it? I did a couple things where I overdubbed to get a bit richer sound with an amplifier and like this guitar that I brought in, which is like the studio guitar. It has a bunch of stuff. And some of that happened when Lefty was around, and some of it happened when he was away on the road or something, and I would just like overdub some things to sweeten it up.
Right. Now, Lefty, did you come in to work with him, or did you guys work, because he's in St. Louis, right? Or did you guys correspond via the internet?
Well,
a bit of both, actually, but we always recorded. We did a lot of recording with Lefty coming in.
Well, and also when we started the project, when we launched the project for the first, 5 months of it, I was living in Los Angeles.
Oh, okay.
So we got a lot of the basic tracks done before I moved. So at least, you know, the basic rhythm tracks and the core. And then, yes, I came back to L.A. a couple of times and spent a lot of time living in Mark's house while we worked.
And well, let's mention the other guys. There's Ed Vai on drums.
Mm-hmm.
I did a great mm-hmm. job. And we did those at a couple of different studios, his studio and then a few other studios. And then Todd Richman played bass on all the tracks that Tony Lynn didn't play bass. And Scott Johnson added some keyboards on a couple things. And then we had our buddy who was in our band Blue Collar way back in the day, Jay Work, did all the woodwinds, saxophones, flutes.
Mm-hmm. Now, did you get the guys together to do the basic tracks, or did you guys do the basic tracks and then bring them in over?
It was kind of a construction kit. It was like bits and pieces added, and that's it's kind of the way you know things are done in production now. It's not really like the whole band in the room at the same time. That doesn't really happen much anymore.
Right. So you two basically put the basic part of it together
mm-hmm.
and then brought in the guys or whatever you needed as needed.
Yeah, yeah.
Now, let me ask you this. In production, you recorded the guitars mono and then spread them out with reverbs and stuff to give the depth of the... Or did you record
well,
any
actually,
of the guitars stereo?
Lefty, you should... You mentioned that you also... tell them about, I guess, the pedal you used.
I don't know if there's... I'm going through basically a Chorus and and I'm forgetting the brand, Bryman or something like that, a digital delay. So I've got a little
Strymon?
Bit of each of those.
Strymon?
On there. Strymon, right. Strymon, yes. So I got a Strymon digital delay and a Chorus that the brand is escaping me. Though for most of the tracks, they were recorded like that.
So you're using the
I got a sound.
You're using the pickup on the Martin, you're not miking it.
Correct.
Ah.
Yes, I have a pickup installed in both my acoustic guitars. A couple of the songs that we call it Love, by the way, you know, when we get to that, that was played on a very old Guild D25. Tuned differently, but you know, we'll get to that when we get to it. But yeah, but both of them have the pickups installed.
That's interesting because you get, it sounds really acoustic.
Do you have another one that you can play that shows the acoustic sound a little bit? Like,
Did you use that on the Things I Missed?
Yes. Yeah.
Let me play that clip because it shows the lower tuning. It's kind of an interesting guitar sound, but as a guitar player, it's like, wow, that's, for a minute, I thought it was a tenor guitar.
Now, I know show is called All About Guitar, but I play as much keyboards on this album as I do guitar.
Oh yeah,
so I'm the pianist on this track,
and you played cello,
and a bunch of other things.
Yeah, no, but on this clip, you're playing cello.
Yeah,
and this one also features Tony on bass.
Tony Levin on bass.
Yes, Tony Levin. Okay, so let me go ahead and play this one. This is The Things I Missed. Here you go.
It started so simply, you losing your keys. Then you weren't sure of my name. That time you got lost, we all had a laugh, but you still felt so ashamed. You tried to hide the changes inside, and I assumed that things were the same. It was one of the things I missed, like it didn't exist. Every day you slowly slipped away. It was one of the things I missed. The man with the papers walked in the room as you signed your freedom away. We packed up the house and loaded the car. You had so little to say. You were adrift in a sea of confusion, and I assumed that you were okay. It was one of the things I missed, like it didn't exist.
It's a beautiful cut. Now, I got a question.
Thanks, Jeff.
A question that has nothing to do with guitar. How did you mic that cello?
Acoustically.
So did you? What do you remember?
Well,
what?
I mean, it's a sample.
Oh, it is. Okay, I thought you were blowing away. That's pretty good.
It's actually two different ones.
The phrasing is
well. That's the thing is that it's all about the mod wheel and the vibrato and how you. It's actually a lot of finesse. So I did play violin as a young man. For many years, and I learned a lot about bowing and phrasing and how to make it sound more realistic. But for this particular one, now on the other cut here, that is Just Another Broken Heart. That's all a real string quartet.
That's a real quartet.
Yeah, that's all a real string quartet, and they're all listed there on the album as the players. But for this one, this was going to be a guide, and then it just sounded fine, so we used it.
Now. Lefty, I got to ask you, those guitars, that's an unusual sound of that guitar. Now, what was going on there? Is that your Martin?
Thank you.
Because that looks like lower than...
Well, the thing that you keyed in on is really perfect. I mean, if you, just by tuning the guitar down a whole step. So if I'm playing, you know, like a standard position E chord, that chord has a certain timbre to it. But when I'm doing it a whole step down, it's actually a D chord. So when you start combining the different guitars and the different instruments, the quality of the chords is very different. I don't know what to say, but you know, I stumbled on that thank you for noticing. Cause I think it really,
Jeff is really good about noticing things.
Well, yeah. When you detune, I've noticed in detuning guitars, the harmonics change in a D tune. Mm-hmm. The harmonics are totally different than an E tuning. Like for example, you notice it a lot with a 12 string. Mm-hmm. You tune concert pitch on a 12 string, sounds totally different than the detuning in terms of when you play up, especially like in the fifth or sixth, seventh frets, and you're doing little tinkly things. It's totally different just from the just the way it's tuned and how it resonates on the guitar.
And Tony's playing the Niall Steiner electric upright bass. So it's a fretless, but it's like a concert contrabass,
mm-hmm.
that has no body, but it's the electric one.
Yeah.
So there's a lot of ways that resonated really well with Lefty's guitar, I think.
Yeah. No, it gives it that upright feel. It's a little beefier than a normal upright. It growls more. You know what I'm saying?
Oh yeah.
But
yeah.
It has that timbre more than just a fretless bass. It's a little different sound. It's more woody, if I can call it that. You know what I mean? But again, and also too, it's his hands. He plays amazing anyway.
Well, I had a comment from another musician that I work with, Sharon Eliashar, who we did the Ruby Ate the Fig project, and she loves this record, and she has said a number of things to other musicians and engineers about how this album surprised her in men talking about subjects that men don't talk about. So it was really a nice compliment, like talking about feelings and the things I missed, you know, talking about your parents and as they grow older and things like that. So there's quite a few topics on the record that deal with
some of them are interesting. I was listening to the lyrics, like Buster and Me.
Yeah, there's one to go.
You're
to.
Left with the dog.
Yeah.
But it's okay.
Which
it's
really okay. Happened to a number of people.
Yeah. Yep. No, I hear you.
Really happened. Maybe play a little of that one. It'll liven the brass.
Well, before I do that, I want to go ahead and play. Let's go ahead and play Just Another Broken Heart. Since we were talking about the string arrangements. Let's take a listen to this song. But before I do that, so you're just using the Martin and you doubled the Martin on that, this last clip, The Things I Missed?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah, and you know, and tune down a whole step.
Okay, because you can hear in the, after, just before it goes into the chorus, you can hear him strum something, you hear this chord, and it's just really rich, but it's really dark and deep. Which is just not, you know, I'm used to a Martin being tinkly, and this thing is like really resonant. But anyway, okay, well, let's take a listen.
It says something to the engineer and the mixer as well.
Yes. so this
making
one
sure
is
we
a
get
full,
all the good tones.
So this is is this a quartet, or is it, because you have violin, viola, cello? Is it just three?
Yeah, but well, I wrote it as a quartet. And then the violinist did both parts.
Oh, okay.
Go ahead, Lefty.
No, well, that's what I was going to say. Thank you.
Okay. So let's take a listen to it, and then we'll talk a little more about this.
This is Jeff Alan Ross on the vocals.
Yes.
Just another broken heart, like a thousand songs sung by someone lonely. Just another broken heart. But this time the song is mine. This time the song is mine. Just
this clip is towards the end of the song, but you can see the development of the strings. And the other reason I put that in there is the vocals.
Yeah, that's me.
And when I was looking at the, I was looking up some of the stuff last night. I was on the internet, and there's a review of this album, and they were like, the vocals are amazing, and this they're just going all over the place.
Which, by the way, speaking of the internet, you can go to LeftyandTheHatMan.com. I don't know if there's anything about that needs to be spelled. It's Lefty and the Hat Man. And I'm kind of like known as the Hat Man, and then Lefty is the left-handed guitar. Anyway, so you can find stuff there, and it's also, you know, up on iTunes and CD Baby and stuff like that. But the vocals at the end was something that I, because I had this oscillating pattern in the strings, and we had this long ending, and it was kind of reflective of all that was said in the front part of the song. So I came up with these vocal ideas and sang it, and had Michelle Ostrov sing the female parts, and I showed it to Lefty, and he kind of went, yeah, that's kind of nice. And then I toyed with in the mix, it's really like complex jazz chords with minor seconds and all sorts of stuff going on there. And if you listen in headphones, you'll really hear them. So, and Lefty liked it when I actually varied it. So each time they're said, they're slightly different.
Right. No, it sounds, yeah, it's really interesting how you build the whole section. And earlier in the song, it starts out, you have to listen to when you listen to the whole cut, it develops. You hear how the strings develop, the way he brings it out. So more voices come in. It gets a little bigger and bigger. It starts out, I forget which one was the first instrument that's playing by itself. There's like a line, and then they build up.
Oh, the strings?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, yeah. The cello comes in, and then the viola.
It's the cello for, yeah. Yeah. And then they start developing. And at the end, now you're hearing with that, da-na-na-na, that whole thing is the full group, but it's like, and then this layer of voices goes over it, and it's like, it's a interesting.
Now, even though we have lead singers singing on the tracks, both Lefty and I are singing the background harmonies throughout. Mm-hmm. And so there's a real sense of, you know, us adding our voices to the project.
Right. Now, let me ask you this. Now, in recording that string section, how did you spread them, or I want to know how you did that.
Well,
it's a really interesting.
This is all about guitar, not all about strings. No.
That's true.
Go ahead, Lefty.
I could chime in here because actually I was the one that was at that session where those were all just done individually at the studio of
the
cello player.
Oh, yeah, they didn't play together. They didn't play together.
No, because you'll notice that one of the viola player and the violin player are the same person. So yeah,
that's right.
we lay down the cello part, and then the other woman came in and laid down the other parts, and then Hat Man did his magic.
That's amazing, because they sound like it sounds that tight.
Well, I did a mock-up first of the entire arrangement, to run it by Lefty and see how it worked with the song, and really just to work through. And then I take that and notate out the parts, and then we had the players play.
Okay. Did they play to the other track just to give them a feeling, or they just played by themselves? Because they sound, they sound pretty tight.
Yeah, they didn't record to the scratch string track.
No, okay.
I think we played it for them. So,
just so they could hear the mood.
Yeah.
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 Well, hats off to Lacey and Hope. That's amazing.
Yeah,
it's not like a click track. It's not that. It's they're moving in and out of it a little bit. You know,
well, that's mm-hmm. kind of like giving them the right notes to do that with.
Yeah, yeah. So
thank you for playing that section too, because it's personally one of my favorite rhythm guitar parts.
Yeah, well, let's talk about that for a minute too, because was that detuned, or was that, because it sounds like concert pitch?
No, it's well, when you say detuned, it's just I've got the whole thing down
a whole step.
Detuned.
Because you must be playing higher up, because it sounded more like a conventional.
Well, you know, a lot of the guitar work that gets attention is the flashy solos and all the, you know, fancy doodly doos and all this other stuff. As the drummer that I work with, Danny Montgomery, goes, "Look at me, look at me, look at me." But I think what Lefty does with the acoustic is really unique, and it really brings out this heartfelt, really good rhythm sound that I think is the core of these songs.
Yeah. Well, speaking of rhythm,
thank you.
Speaking of rhythm, I'm going to play another track. that basically shows the rhythm. And you're doing a lot of different guitars on this one. So take a listen, and you're going to hear the guitars change. There's acoustic, obviously, with Lefty, but you're going to hear some different guitars that you're playing, and we'll talk about that. And this song is called Fade Out, and it's tastefully done, where he's using the rhythm guitars to give you different colors. And let me take a listen, then we'll talk more.
I am watching something disappear, very slowly fading from my view, reaching out to try to pull it back, reaching out to try to get to you. I can hear some laughter in the past, echoes of the way life used to be. Neither of us want to call it off, neither of us can change history. So we fade out, what we shared was no longer shining. We watch as our love fades away. Things are changing, we are so lonely. Hurts to feel our love fade out. I go to the movies by myself, do my best to try to comprehend.
There's a lot of guitars in there, and it's interesting. Let's break it down a little bit. So I can hear there's two acoustic guitars, and that's Lefty playing them. Okay. Then you come in with that twangy guitar. Is that the 12 string Guild?
No, actually that's the Strat in kind of like the middle pickup tone, sort of that bright thin, sound.
And that's the VG
mm-hmm.
system. Okay. And then there's, I'm trying to remember, there's another guitar part in there. I know you're doing a vibrato thing at the, and it's cool because it kind of melds in with the organ.
So oh, yeah, hear, right, on that little break. I thought you were going to play the end with all the fancy rock solo.
Well, no, what intrigued me more, we'll play one or more of your solos, but what intrigued me more was what you were doing, the layering of the song, the way you're putting the parts in. This, to me, is important because a lot of people don't know. I mean, rhythm guitar, I'm pointing it out, and I'm telling you to listen to this. Check this out. But basically, most people don't realize if it wasn't there, if you muted those tracks, you'd notice it.
Oh, gosh, yes.
And that's the real trick with doing rhythm guitar is that it supports it. But it's subtle. It's like really good special effects in a movie. You don't really realize it. You just like you're seeing this thing. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. And in the production end, I mean, I learned a lot working with Jeff Lynne for decades. That basis of the acoustic rhythm is really underneath a lot of what people don't even know. There's an acoustic in there sometimes.
Right.
But Lefty's, you know, acoustic rhythm playing is so distinctive that it's really much a forefront, especially on a track like this, Fade Out. And for me, as you know, mixing it, it's to make sure that you get that tone, but leave space for all the other stuff, like you're talking about, the little added electric guitars, the little organs, the little electric pianos, and all these other sounds, and making so that they all sonically fit together.
Yeah, well, you're talking about Alan Parsons. He's one of the guys that you can hear everything, and he might have full choir, full orchestra, three guitar players, you know, bass, five keyboardists, and you hear it all.
Yeah.
And he puts it in its proper little pocket. And the thing is that if you listen to this cut and go back and listen again, you can sit there and you can pick out the rhythm, the acoustic guitar, and you can hear what it's doing, though it kind of pops in and out in certain spots because there's air there. But you can also, you can pick out each of, you can to me, which is what makes it interesting musically, because I'm hearing all these cool little colors that you're putting in there. So you're basically, with your rhythm guitars, you're orchestrating it, and it makes it interesting. It's cool what's going on in the background.
Say thank you, Lefty.
Yeah. So, but I mean, it's interesting. And also kudos for the clarity. Listening to the album, the fact that you can hear all that, that's not easy to mix, to get all of that. There's a lot of stuff happening in there. At one point, I think there's like six guitars running at the same time, right?
Oh, but who's counting?
Right. But I mean, to get it so that you can hear it clear, I know for a fact it can get mushy real fast and muddy. But you can hear everything really, really clear. And to me, I think that that's proof of the pudding. I mean, it's just, it sounds really, really cool.
Thank you. Thank
you
very much.
Which songs did you play this guitar?
There's a song on the album which is called Thin Air, and it has a little bit more of a rock riff that I wrote for the hook kind of thing.
Okay, let me go ahead and play Thin Air. And then we're going to take.
I did some on the Strat and some on this what I call my little studio axe.
Okay, so we're gonna play this clip and then we're gonna.
It never goes out on the stage because it's a little too flashy, but it is. it has all the extra knobs and things.
It's
for
a
the
weapon.
Studio.
Somebody could get injured by those cutaways. All right, here's Thin Air. Take a listen. Pretty interesting. There's some interesting guitar work in there. Now that, I presume that last guitar that's doing the lead, that's kind of like the out of phase sound.
Yeah, that's actually the, this and the Strat together.
That is?
Yeah,
oh, okay. Yeah.
But the cleaner little solo break, that was the Strat. And actually, Lefty, do you remember what you said to me? We were in the studio and you said what did you say?
I do. I said it's a Mark Knopfler solo.
That's what it was. I got to say, working with Lefty is just, it was such a great experience because we really communicated. And it was sort of like, I was like stuck about, well, what kind of, and then he said something like that. And the next thing you know,
you're right.
10 minutes later.
Yeah, well, that's true. You're doing like, what is it, tenths that he does those, or it's a tenth? I know it. I can play it, but I'm
it's kind of sixths.
Sixth,
yeah, I guess sixth and tenths,
yeah,
and inversions.
But it's but it's pretty cool. I mean, it's interesting sound.
The third on the bottom, inverted tenths. Yeah,
right. So what's the what was the rhythm guitar? There's an electric kind of rhythmy kind of guitar going on there that's semi-clean.
There's actually a couple times where I use this for some crunchy stuff that happens that well, gives it sort of like
jump,
that.
Jump
there. Yeah, there. That's very, to me, it's very bad fingerish to mm-hmm. have that kind of straight quarter note crunch stuff. But then there's a little stuff where I use sounds like Mike Campbell uses with the Heartbreakers and Tom Petty, you know, a little bit of these open chords that have no thirds to get a real jangle
right.
in the choruses and stuff.
Yeah, no, it's an interesting sound, and that's all through the VG.
Some of it is this doesn't go through the VG. This goes through, I either use like a little Marshall that I have, or a Line 6, or sometimes I'll borrow like a friend's got a really nice modified Champ, you know, which is a great little amp.
Well, let's go a little more into this guitar since you.
Oh well,
I'm dying
real,
to know
real,
what's on
real,
this.
Real quickly, I brought this for eye candy for the people watching on the internet. What's nice about it in brief terms is that it's a double octave, which allows me to do a lot of high twiddly bits on the thing. It's very flat neck, very much like playing a classical nylon. Very very flat and nice to do a lot of the kind of intricate part things. But the electronics are interesting in that it has the ability. On each one of the pickups, they can be single or double pole, and then you can reverse the phase of those.
Oh, wow.
So you can actually have it, you know, front single pole, the back double pole, and reverse the phase. Obviously, your normal position switch. But these are actually preamps. This will fire in a first preamp and a second preamp. And this switch here turns on a tone wheel, which actually puts it into different tone things. So it's I thought maybe a little bit of fun for the folks watching at home is that certain guitars are really designed for sculpting the sound within the guitar, and you can get those little thin plunky sounds that really cut through.
And go ahead and hold this up. He's got a
brass tailpiece,
brass bridge, brass nut.
Brass nut.
And what's this?
That's just your normal volume knob.
But are these not volume knobs?
These are actually a tone, individual volume and tone for the two sides, but this is master.
Oh, okay. So you have a master. Oh, that is very cool.
Yeah. So it attracted me. I mean, I got this in the 70s, I think, late 70s. It attracted me for all the features, and you think, oh, this would be great because you can do all the, but it's so complex live that it's just like, ah. So it became the studio way of carving out different things, and it's a single piece of wood.
Yeah, that's what I want to show them. It's the neck. There's no heel. It's pretty close. It's all single body.
And this is obviously all the access ports for the electronics on the back. So, and it's you know, it's maple
down the middle.
Yeah,
through the body. So the sustain is incredible.
And the you know the fun thing is that. When Lefty and I are working together, he'll, you know, have recorded some of the acoustic tracks, and then I'll try some ideas, and then he might, you know, need to fly off to another city or something, and then I'll try different things on different guitars and just double things. But most of the time, you know, the parts came together really quickly, and it was, you know, Lefty actually kind of kept track of what was needed when, and he added percussion. I said, "Well, you need percussion here," and he'll put in percussion and do all the little bits and pieces. So, and luckily, we got some great recordings. I think.
Yeah, no, it's as I said, it's well engineered, and the songs are strong. They're really strong songs. They really work really well. And I think, as a guitar player, though, there's this cool little things that you're doing all throughout it. And before I play another clip. Those pickups, are those DiMarzios or are those Duncans?
They're actually, it's an Aria Pro 2, and those are the stock pickups that came with it.
They're stock Arias. Oh, yeah. Wow. They sound great.
Yeah, they do. And what's nice about it is that you can sculpt tone with all these switches and stuff in a way that you can get very particular tones.
Mm-hmm.
It's kind of fun to, you know, like single coil is more like a Tele. And the dual coil is more like a Les Paul, you know, that kind of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, that's the kind of thing that a young guitarist coming up today should, you know, learn about what those different things can do for the sound that you want to get.
Oh, for definitely. All right, I'm going to play another cut. This is called Unbreak Us. And I'm hearing vibrato chords where he's hitting a chord and he's using the vibrato on it. But there's a ooh type of sound in the background. I want you to take a listen. Tell me what that is. Is that a keyboard or is that guitar It could be guitar.
Well, we also had a great trombonist and great bass player, Chad Watson. Mm-hmm. He played the trombone on these tracks, so it might be trombone.
Okay, you let me know. And then what's really cool, take a listen, because we're going to go into the drum break, and he's doing this cool little guitar riff in the middle, and then the drummer goes nuts, and it's great. It's a great clip. So here we go, Unbreak Us. Take a listen. Now, that whole break goes for a little longer, but you can hear all the different things. So you have this this one guitar that's kind of just strumming, and then I can hear Lefty in there with the acoustic. And then you have this like twang, jangly type of guitar in there. And then what were those oohs in the background?
I think that what you're hearing as oohs is actually the Fender Rhodes part that I put in there. It's a dark kind of chorusy mm-hmm. Fender Rhodes that I hit with compression on it to take away a little of the attack, and you're hearing the body of it ring through.
Oh, okay. That's cool.
It's actually a Rhodes part I put on.
That I'm like, what the heck is that? It's like, but you can hear it's way in the background, and then I love the little riff that you're doing under the drums, and then the organ kind of harmonize, right?
Yeah.
You're using the organ again because they split off like in thirds or something.
Yeah, so. And then I'm playing the little piano solo on acoustic piano.
Yeah, that's right. Yes. So, yes. So now what guitars did you use on that?
Oh boy. Jeff, I think it was, the Strat. But Lefty, did you use? Was it always the Martin, or there was one that you used the other one for? Which one was the?
Well, this one had the Martin as well. The we call it Love is the only song on the album I think that uses the Guild.
Okay. I couldn't remember which one because there was a couple acoustics. But, you know, I remember Lefty, like, searching out this Martin. It was like a quest. Didn't you, like, go all to San Diego or something?
It's a beautiful sounding guitar.
Yeah. I went to San Jose and Santa Cruz and up and down California looking. Well, I had played a HD28V that a friend had back east, and I went, this guitar is amazing. And so I went on a hunt, and not all of them feel amazing, but I knew it was possible. Mm-hmm. It's a tremendous, beautiful guitar.
Now, is that the standard Martin electronics in it, or did you put a custom pickup?
Custom pickup.
Okay.
I wish I could remember which. I'm sorry.
All right, well, we'll write them an email.
No, what you have to do is on the next album, you got to put it in the notes. So that's a condition there. But no, it's great because that thing sounds natural for a pickup, and you're using that almost exclusively on the album. That's amazing. We're almost out of time, and I want to play the whole cut of We Call It Love. So I'm going to do real quick. I'm going to play Buster and Me, and I love this song. This is great about the dog, and but also to the brass arrangement.
Yeah, well, Lefty had said when we were talking about the concept of the album, you know, we have Steely Dan influences. Mm-hmm. What else would you say, Lefty? I mean, people have said
Mark Knopfler.
Mark Knopfler, they say, yep. You know, Sting. Yep. When they hear We Call Love, they say it reminds them a little of Sting or Peter Gabriel.
Yep.
But at one point, Lefty had said, you know, that he always loved Chicago. Wasn't that what you were saying?
Yeah. I said let's give this a Chicago treatment.
So I went, okay, well, that means brass arrangement.
Yeah.
And since I do a lot of orchestration and arranging for films with Danny Elfman, I just decided, well, I'm going to use my chops and do a big band arrangement for this, and this is what came out.
And then also, too, I want to know, listen in the background, this harmonica solo.
Oh, that's Jimmy Woods.
That's incredible, because it doesn't, you can tell it's a harmonica, but it's just, it's amazing.
He takes a great blues harp solo in the middle.
Yeah. So here's Buster and Me.
You took the
harp solo. For a minute, I thought he's using a wah-wah. It almost like he grabs, I don't know what he's doing, if he's inhaling or whatever he's doing, but it sounded like he was using a wah. I'm like, wait a minute, is that a harp or is that a guitar?
Yeah.
It was hard to tell. Great brass arrangement. That's awesome.
Thank you.
And I love the lyrics.
Yeah.
I love the lyrics.
Yeah. I've had so many people comment on that they experienced this. Like the engineer I was just working with.
Yeah.
He experienced the same thing. But yeah, Lefty really kind of hit a nerve with this concept. And I actually was another person who was basically left the dogs.
Yeah.
when someone moved out.
Yes. Well, it's interesting. And I mean, we're focusing on the guitar parts and stuff, but when you listen to these lyrics, they're great lyrics. And as you said, they describe very specific things that a lot of people can relate to. Anyway, we're out of time. And leftyandthehatman.com is where they're at. Besides the it's available on CD Baby, Amazon.
iTunes.
iTunes, everything.
And it's on Spotify.
Now, will this ever be performed live?
I'm working on that.
Yeah, we got to get you back to L.A., Lefty.
Well, yeah.
I'd be happy to do it.
You can check out. You can never leave. You know that. But no, I gotta check out this. When you come out, I gotta see this guitar. Your Martin. The sound of this whole album is just amazing. Kudos to you guys. It's really well engineered. Go ahead.
Let me throw out one more note just before you play this last tune, because this is the one tune that's I'm playing an old Guild D25, and it's tuned to Dadgad. So Just a little info about that.
Okay. Anything else you want to add before, because it's going to take us out?
Besides
Tony on there, you're going to hear Tony shine on bass.
Well, we actually give the ending part of the song a moment for Tony to shine.
Yes, and it's a beautiful song. What else? Janice on backing vocal, Janice Liebert backing, and it's Ira Ingvar singing this. So everybody, we're out of time. Check out this album. I can't stress more than just get it. It's really cool. There's a lot of ear candy in here for you to listen to, and some great tasteful guitar parts besides great string and brass arrangements. Lefty, it's an honor to have you here. Hopefully next time we'll have you in person.
Yeah.
Thank you. It was a pleasure and it was fun.
So everybody, this is, we call it Love. This is their single. I'm going to let it play out. And I will see you guys next week. Have a great week. And thank you
Thanks, Jeff.
For you guys. Here we go. We call it Love.
Times I called you, but I'm not getting through. All those texts I sent you, but none came back from you. What else can I say to you? You haven't heard before. Tell me the words you won't ignore. Every time you reach for me, I wasn't there to take your hand. Instead of always blaming you, should have tried to understand. 100 times I held you close while we drifted to sleep. Oh, that's a distant memory. To sleep. Oh, that's a distant memory. You need me, and I need you. It's crazy that we call it love. Call it love. It's funny that we call.